about a mom. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
There's something special about a mom. Praise God.
Praise God.
Oh, you guys, you gotta hear me. Especially when I'm talking about mom, and if she's next to you, you better say amen. There's something special. And God has been gracious enough to give us mom. If the world was just full of dads, what a terrible place that would be. And it's permeated in our society, even our language. For example, everybody talks about their mother language, right? We don't talk about our father language. It's our mother language. What does that mean? It's the first one, the most important one. It's the one that we know. We talk about as an expression of something really great, really big. If there was a really bad storm, we often call it the mother of storms, okay? I don't know. Maybe that's not a good illustration. If we have a really great idea, we say, I got a mother of an idea. It means it's the biggest and it's the best. But there's another part of mother that I want to talk to you about today. There's a part of a mother that I believe reflects an important attribute and part of God. And that is a mother's love. A mother's love. What I'm amazed at is just how vital this is to everyone. When you see sports being played and the camera zooms in on a great big athlete, a huge muscly guy, what is one of the first things he says? He waves to the camera and usually says, hi. Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. He doesn't say, hi, Dad. I don't know why, but us dads get the bum deal. We don't get acknowledged as much. It's always, hi, Mom. Your child falls off his bike, skins his knees up, and he's bleeding, and he's crying, and he's hurting. Does he come running to Dad? Not usually. Not in my house. Dad is not the same. Dad loves, yeah, but it's not the same. The boy, the child, wants Mom. Wants to see Mom. That is the most important. I understand even at times the cry of wounded and dying soldiers on a battlefield would be, Mom. Mom. Where's Mom? I remember some of my greatest memories of growing up is my mom. Some of my greatest memories of growing up is something that she instilled in me, and it was called lap time. Every evening, I'd be saying, it's lap time, Mom. And that is a time where I get up, I lay my head in Mom's lap, she runs her fingers through my hair, and it's just soaking in the love of Mom. Bathing in the love of Mom. So what kind of love does a mom have that is a reflection? Even if it's a dim reflection, it's a reflection of the kind of love that God has for us. Because I want to tell you, God loves you. God made you, and He cares for you far more than any human can ever care for. And He wants you to know Him. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. He wants to intimately know you. Not just that you know about Him and Him know about you, but He wants a relationship. That's why He made you. That's why He created you. Do you today have a relationship with God? You can. What kind of love is this? This kind of love that we see in moms, the kind of love that we also see in God. First of all, we see that God's love does not discriminate. Does not discriminate. I remember as a young dad, by the way, I was 22 years old. When I was a dad, I was a young dad. But I remember as a young dad when Gretchen was born, and the heart swells up, and you just, you can't imagine loving anybody else, any other child, as much as you love this one. How many of you have one child at home? One child. Who's a one-parent home? Okay, we got somebody in the creche raising their hand, and we got some here. One child. Well, first of all, never have one child. You got to have another one, okay? So let's work on that. But man, when you have that one child, you can't imagine spreading the love around. 4 years later, child number two came along in our life. And the question comes, man, Jen, how can we love another child as much as we loved the first? Wouldn't that be trying to divide up the love a little bit? You know, you can't give her all your love, so you have to kind of share it around. But you know it doesn't work that way, right? What happens? God gives you a love. And it's not like you have 50% love for her, 50% love for him. God allows you to have 100% love and 100% love. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that right, Archie? You got two kids? Is it 50-50 or 100-100? Amen. Romans 8:29 says, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among," what? "Many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified." I want to suggest to you today that you are predestined to know God. God has made you to know Him. And when God made you, He made you a part of many children. And He loves you just as much. He does not discriminate. You remember being a kid playing on the playground? And there's a game getting ready to start. And there's often two people picked, two captains to pick the teams. And everybody's standing in a line and the teams are being picked. And there's always the last people picked. What kind of people are the last people picked? They're not the good players, are they? How many here are always the last people picked? Raise your hand if you're the last people always picked. Nobody's owning up to it. So these are all first picks right here. We have a church full of first picks. But there's always the last people. And I'm the kind of guy that always felt sorry for the last person. Partly because I was always the last person. But I always felt sorry for the last person. But I want you to know that when it comes to God, He's pointing at you saying, "I pick you. I want you. You're first in my books. You're not the last pick." And it doesn't matter your background. In a church like International Baptist, we have all kinds of backgrounds. It doesn't matter where you're from. We have all kinds of people in this building represented from around the world. That's part of what makes this such a great place. But it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter even what color of skin that you're wearing. God doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter what education you have or don't have. God still says, "You're first pick. I want you. You're predestined to know God." And I also want to say to you this morning that it doesn't matter what sin you have in your life. Because the truth is, we have all sinned. And God still looks at you and says, despite all these things, I don't care where you're from, what language you speak, what color you are, or what sin that you have committed in your life, I still pick you. I want you. I want to know you. The Bible says this in Galatians 3. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Is that good news? Amen? Is that good news? Praise God. I hope it's good news to you. God does not discriminate. God loves you. In regards to people being good or bad, God says in Romans 3:23, say this with me, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who sinned? Put your hand up if you have not sinned. Huh? And if you put your hand up, you just sinned because you're lying. We've all sinned. We've all blown it. But God still says, I'm not discriminating. Every one of you, as far as God is concerned, is a sinner. Every one of you, God still loves. God wants to receive. God wants to forgive. Now, this idea that all have sinned, it doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what you've done, we're all in the same boat together, will do one of two things to you. It will either make you, like me, very grateful. Very grateful. And relieved to realize I don't have to be perfect for God to accept me. Or second, it's going to make you offended. And you may stop and say, wait a second now. Compared to some people, I'm not a bad person. And everybody can point to really bad, evil people in our society and say, I'm not like them. They're the real sinners. But God says, all have sinned. And our job is not to compare ourselves one with another. Even in this room, I can point and compare. And again, some of you, I look pretty good. And maybe others of you are better than me. But the only thing that we have to compare is God. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of who? God. Not of my glory, not of your glory, the glory of God. And so God is perfection. God is perfection. And He's the only thing that we are compared to. There is no discrimination. God's love does not discriminate. There's another aspect of a mother's love that we also see in God, a dim reflection of God's kind of love. And that is point number two that says God's love is unconditional. He loves unconditionally. We've all at times seen love where it's based on conditions. That if you fulfill certain requirements, or if you meet a certain need of somebody, you will receive love back. God says, I love. God is love. He is the definition of love. It's not that God has love, but He is love. As we look for a definition of love, it has to be seen in God Himself. That's what He is. In Romans 5, it says, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So yes, we have this sin problem. But God's love being unconditional while we were still sinners and while we were still not very lovable, He loved us unconditionally and died for us. That's God's kind of unconditional love. Now, this being Mother's Day and all, I wanted to give you a real-life living example of this kind of a love. And so I've asked somebody to come, and I want to speak with them, with you guys, ask them a few particular questions about this kind of a love, and I want you to see for yourself this love in action. So, Jen, would you bring our Miss Ethel up to the platform, please, and have a seat up here with me. By the way, Miss Ethel, as far as I know, is the eldest mom in this building. Let's give her a big hand for that.
Good morning, Ethel.
Good morning.
You comfortable?
Yes.
Okay.
Please sit down.
Okay. This, of course, for those of you who may not know, is Ethel Williamson. And she not only is the eldest mom in the church, I believe. Is there anyone over 90? We just celebrated in this church her 90th birthday. And I've known Ethel for a long time now, haven't I?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
When I first met Miss Ethel, she was just a young girl. She was just a young girl of 68. What year did you come over here?
82.
82. Okay, I didn't think it was 92.
82.
And came from?
England.
Of course, if you can't tell. Her accent has been much more muted in the past years. I remember when Jennifer first came over to New Zealand with me in 93, she couldn't understand Ethel on the phone at all. And she Ethel, what year were you saved and where?
I was saved in England in 1981. I was only a young Christian when I came here.
Yeah, yeah. And you joined IBC?
I joined IBC in, the first day we started.
Wow. So that was in 84?
Yes.
You were a baby Christian in 84?
Yes, I met Pastor Young at East Amica Church.
Yeah, is that right? Okay.
Yes. I was staying with my daughter, Patricia, and her husband, John Felton.
Yeah.
And at the Sunday morning, they said they was going to church, and they asked me if I'd like to go with them, and I said I would. And so they said, so when I got there, John was sat next to me, and he said to me, well, Ethel, when they're giving the invitation out, he said, well, I think I better go down and make it public. And yep. That's when John was saved.
Yep, yep. Amen, amen. And your baptism was where?
And then Pastor McAllister's church it was. Yep. And Pastor McAllister was home on leave. And Pastor John Young was speaking at the time. And that's the first time I met him. And he said that he was going to start a church in Howick.
Yep.
And John Felton said to me, he said, well, Ethel, he said, you'll be able to help Pastor start this church. And that's what happened.
Amen, amen.
And I've been with him ever since.
Amen. Can you tell us a little bit about what ministries have you been involved in the church since you've been here?
Well, I used to help Pastor and Janet with different things, and we're giving leaflets out for the church and distributing leaflets, and I've sang on the stage solos and at different times, and I've done various things in the church.
Do we have that picture that I... Eh? Could you put that picture up?
Oh, yes, and I did I used to do the Lord's Supper, the table.
She was our Lord's Supper lady for many years. This is Miss Ethel and another lady in the church. In one of her many specials, she sang.
Oh, yes. That's Rose.
That's who?
Rose.
Rose.
Rose
was also a...
Rose came to IBC, and she used to go home with me every Sunday for lunch, and we'd spend lunch together, and then they'd come and George would come and pick us up and bring us to church on a Sunday morning.
When did Rose die?
Pardon?
What year did Rose die? She passed away?
Oh, I can't just remember. It might have been 97, yes, okay. I think so, yes, it would be. I know it's quite a few years ago.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I wanted to bring out this morning was last year, there was a time when Ethel had a serious problem and she was in hospital yet again. What was that for?
I had a split valve in my chest, and they didn't expect me coming through that. But like as always, I had two the year before I had 2 heart attacks and the Lord brought me through. I've been in hospital that many times, I've lost count. But the Lord's always brought me through. Yeah. He's always been faithful, always.
We really didn't know if she was going to make this one. It was very serious. She was in hospital again with her knees this year, but last year was the serious heart
issue. Yes, I've had my right knee replaced this year.
But I remember one of the days me and Jen went to see her in the hospital at that time, just to talk with her, to have prayer with her. And I remember Jen talking with her, and Ethel made a statement that she's amazing. Just listening to her face, she says, "I'm totally trusting God. Whatever He wants, you know, that's fine by me." But she said she believed that God wasn't finished with her yet.
No.
Why was that? What, remember what you said?
Yes, I remember that.
What was that?
Yes, but they must have something for me to do yet.
And what was that that God has for you to do, though, that you mentioned?
I don't know. Can't remember.
You? It must have been the drugs. You said, Ethel, that God, your biggest ministry right now is what?
I pray for people.
Her biggest ministry is prayer.
I know Janet, when Janet and John Young was here, Janet always said, "I had a ministry for prayer." And she said, your prayer is ministry, Ethel. And she said, "You have to pray for people." Well, I pray for my family. I pray for my grandchildren. I pray for Kenny and Jennifer.
She still calls me Kenny, so...
Yes, and IBC that the Lord will bless us, and I pray for Pastor Young in America. And the church that is started out over there, that it will be prosperous and like IBC, and I pray that IBC will grow and be very prosperous.
I know we have some other people in this room that are also prayer warriors, and you pray consistently and regularly. But we have here one of those important prayer warriors within this church, and she mentioned even with her own family there are still people that she wants to pray for that don't know God yet or that have wandered away from God. Mm-hmm. And she said, "I still have work to do." Mm-hmm. I still have people to pray for. Ethel, what would you say is the prime motivator for this ministry that you do?
Well, it's the love that I have for God and the love that I have for the people that I pray for. And because I love IBC very much. Amen. And I love you all, every one of you.
Amen. This unconditional
love, yes.
I've asked Ethel to sing a special. Would you like to hear a special from Ethel? I'm going to play, and Jen's going to help sing together. Chandra, that paper by you, can you bring that up here, please? Thank you. Thank you.
Come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and a voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we travel there. No. none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me is falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
We all know this chorus. Sing it with Ethel this time.
And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
For that, Ethel. I was indeed a blessing and a living example of the unconditional love that a mother shows and displays. God loved us when we were not lovable. He reaches out his hand and his heart at times when we're still in sin. Even the hardened sinner that looks up into heaven and shakes his fist at God and curses him to his face, God still says, I love that person. I love them. I love them. Christ's prayer on the cross when he was hanging between two thieves, two criminals, and they have whipped him, they plucked his beard, they nailed him, and they're mocking him. His prayer is still, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Why? Because he loved them. He loved them unconditionally. Is there anything that you can do to make God love you more than He already does love you? Maybe you're here this morning and you're asking yourself, how can God's love be unconditional if sinners cannot go to heaven? Good question. How can God's love be unconditional if a sinner cannot enter into heaven, if God casts them away from heaven? First of all, I want you to know that God absolutely loves the sinner, but God cannot accept us in sin. He cannot accept us. There is a difference. If God allowed sin into heaven, then God would be allowing imperfectness in heaven, and it would not be heaven, and God would not be God if He allowed sin. And if God allowed sin in heaven, let me ask you, which kinds of sins should God allow in heaven? Who's going to decide which sins are permissible and which sins are not? Heaven is a perfect place.
If it was not perfect, you would not want to be there for all eternity. All it took to enter into the earth is one sin. Adam and Eve sinned against God in one sin, and we look at the mess of earth that we have today. We look at the violence, the death, the disease, the killing, the pain, and we look forward to one day something that is perfect. God cannot allow sin in heaven and will not. Jesus said in John 14, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." Verse 4, "You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." How do we get to heaven? Through Him. Is there any other way? There is no other way. If there were, that'd be wonderful. But God, the Bible clearly says there is no other way to heaven except through Him. He hands a ticket to everyone. He hands an admission to everyone without discrimination. We're all in the same boat. We're all human. And we're all sinners. But He says, "I want you in heaven. Here's a ticket. Here's a ticket. But let me tell you something. You have to receive it. You have to receive it." This morning we have 8 people being baptized who received this ticket. Amen? We have 8 people being baptized that received this ticket. And I would like for you to be in the next group of baptisms. If you haven't yet received that free offer from God, there is no other way except through Him. And finally, number 3 is this. God's love is forever. Forever or eternal. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, the writer Paul says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge." There's this love that surpasses everything that we can know of. There are 4 words that are used to describe this love. What are they? Remember? How wide and long and high and deep. These are just words that are used to help us to understand a little bit better this kind of love. God's love is wide enough to include everybody without discrimination who will come. God's love is long enough to last forever. God's love is high enough to reconcile us to Himself, to God Himself. And God's love is deep enough to cleanse us from the very deepest stain in our lives and in our hearts. This is God's love. I know this morning we're here to bless mothers. We're here to be a blessing to mothers, but I want you to know that anytime we gather, everything comes back to Christ. It comes back to Christ. That's why we are here. There was an illustration I read related to that Mr. Charles Spurgeon told. You familiar with Charles Spurgeon? He said that there was this young English preacher delivering a message before a renowned pastor of many years. And upon finishing his sermon, the young man went to the old pastor to ask how he had done. "What did you think of my sermon, sir?" he asked. "A very poor sermon indeed," was the answer. "A poor sermon," said the young man. "It took me a long time to study it." "I, no doubt. No doubt of it. Why then did you say it was poor? Did you think my explanation of the text to be accurate?" Oh, yes, said the old preacher, very correct indeed. Well, then, why do you say it is a poor sermon? Didn't you think the metaphors were appropriate and the arguments conclusive? Yes, they were very good as far as that goes. But still, it was a very poor sermon. Will you tell me why you think it is a poor sermon? Because, he said, there is no Christ in it. Well, said the young man, Christ was not in the text. We are not to be preaching Christ always. We must preach what is in the text. So the old man said, don't you know, young man, that from every town, every village, and every hamlet in England, wherever it may be, there is a road to London? Yes, said the young man. Ah, said the old preacher, and so from every text in Scripture, there is a road to the metropolis of the Scriptures, that is, Christ. And he said, I have never yet found a text that had no such road. I will make a road. I will go over the hedge and ditch, but I would get at my master, for a sermon is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill unless there is a Savior of Christ in it. And so today, as we focus on mums and their love, we must also focus on the epitome of love himself. And that is on Christ. My question to you today then, have you received that kind of love? Have you received this love from God that is available to us through Christ? This love that does not discriminate, this love that is unconditional, this kind of love that lasts forever. Have you taken a hold of that? Have you received it? Taken that free ticket? I'd like now to share with you a special story, again, that focuses on love and the kind of love that a mom has. And I've asked Jennifer if she would come and read this to you.
You know, when we received this book, my second child, my son, received it. And I was an unsuspecting mom about what this book was about. I was sitting in the back seat with my baby in the seat and my four-year-old here. And Gretchen said, Mommy, read this story to us. So Daddy was driving, and I thought, oh, that'll get us there more quickly. I'll read the story. And this is what I read. Okay? A mother held her new baby and very slowly rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The baby grew. He grew and he grew. He grew until he was 2 years old. And he ran around the house. He pulled all the books off the shelf. He pulled all the food out of the refrigerator. And he took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes his mother would say, this kid is driving me crazy. But at night, when that two-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room. She crawled across the floor. Do you remember doing that? She looked up over the side of the bed. And as he was really asleep, she picked him up and she rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. That baby grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 9 years old. And he never wanted to come in for dinner. He never wanted to take a bath. And when grandma came to visit, he said bad words. Sometimes his mother wanted to sell him to the zoo. But at night, when he was asleep, his mother quietly opened the door to his room and crawled across the floor and looked over the side of his bed. And if he was really asleep, she picked up that 9-year-old boy and she rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." That boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a teenager. He had strange friends. And he wore strange clothes. And he listened to strange music. And sometimes the mother felt like she was in the zoo. But at night, when that teenager was asleep, the mother opened the door to his room and she crawled across the floor and she looked up over the side of the bed. And if that really great big boy was really asleep, she'd pick him up and she'd rock him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." That teenager grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a grown-up man. He left home and he got a house across home. And this is where my daughter started laughing. But sometimes, on dark nights, that mother got in her car and she drove across town. My 4-year-old said, "That's so silly, Mom. If all the lights in her son's house were out, she opened up his bedroom door." Oh, she crawled across the floor and she looked up over his bed. And if that great big man was really asleep, she picked him up. "That's so silly, Mom." And she would rock him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. How many moms still feel that way? And while she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." Well, that mother, she got older. She got older and older and older. And one day she called her son and she said, "You better come and see me because I'm very old and I'm sick." And when he came in the door, she tried to sing the song, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always." But she couldn't finish because she was too old and she was too sick. So that son went to his mother and he picked her up and then he rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he sang the song, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy you'll be." That night when the son came home, he stood for a very long time at the top of his stairs. And then he went into the room where his very new baby daughter laid asleep. And he picked her up. And then he rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." I could hardly finish this book. And Ken was laughing. Gretchen said, "Mommy, why are you crying?" And I said, "Ooh, I've been gobsmacked. This book was not written for my child. It was written for me." And it reminded me that the love of God must always come out of me as the love of the Savior. And it came around the love of a father as well. Yeah.
Thank you, Jen. Would you please stand with me? Let's stand together. This kind of love that we're talking about this morning is a love that comes from God. God's love doesn't discriminate. God's love is forever. And God's love is reaching out to you right now. And He's calling to you. Will you come to Him? I want to bless mothers this morning. I want to ask God's blessing on mothers this morning. But I first want to ask you a question. With everybody's head bowed, please. Mm-hmm. Eyes closed. Do you know Christ? Have you received God's love? Have you allowed God to love you through Jesus Christ? There is no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. Are you saved? Are you forgiven? Do you know God? Is there anyone in the room this morning that would acknowledge and say, "Pastor Ken, I don't know that I have a relationship with God"? Nobody looking, please. Is there anyone that would say, "I don't know if I have a relationship with God. I am uncertain. I don't know if I am saved, born again, if I'm forgiven"? Is there anyone that would acknowledge? I'm not going to get you. I'm just going to pray for you and ask God to help you this morning. Is there anyone that would say, "Pastor Ken, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. I don't know for sure I have a relationship with God like you speak about, like I've heard this morning"? Anyone here? Listen. You can know this morning for sure that you have a home in heaven, that you are forgiven, that you have a relationship with your Creator. I urge you not to leave without settling this issue. I'm going to do something that I haven't done before, but I'd like to pray for the mums of this church. And I would encourage and urge you, if you're a mother here and you want God to give to you this kind of love without discrimination, this kind of love that is unconditional and forever, and you need God's power in this, I want to pray for you. I want us as a church to lift you up together. And I'd ask, if you're a mom and you'd like to be in this prayer, would you come forward? Would you step forward and just come to the front? Would you come to the front? If you're a mom and you want us as a church to pray over you and say, "God, empower these ladies here with this kind of love that only comes from God." There's room. I don't care if you stand in the aisles. Just come. And I want you to come. And ladies,
put your hand on the person next to you. Church, those of you who are here with us this morning, I'm asking you to pray with us this morning. Place your hands on somebody next to you. I want everybody connected in one way or the other here. Anyone else? Church, let's lift up these ladies. Let's lift them up together. Father in heaven, this morning, Lord, we want to lift up the mums of this church. Those who have come forward right now, I ask that you empower their lives, that you give to them, Lord, this love, this kind of love that will come from you. Increase their love. Lord, the kind of love that does not discriminate. Lord, the love that is unconditional and this kind of love that is forever. Sometimes, Father, life takes its toll. And it's hard. And it's difficult. And at these times, they must rely and lean on you. I pray that you will be their strength. You will be their power. Help them, Father, to raise their families in a godly home. That they would teach their children your teachings, your precepts. And that they, Lord, would continue to be faithful to pray for their families. That their kids would not only come to know you as their Savior, but Lord, that they would be raised to serve you with all their lives. Lord, I pray for these moms. Bless them, their work, and their families. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all of us said together, Amen.